Hello and welcome to Vet Art Span. I'm Fred Johnson, your passport guide on this exciting and important creative journey. Vet Art Span is a project which is a part of Creative Forces, an initiative of the National Endowment for the Arts in partnership with the U.S. Department of Defense and Veteran Affairs and state and local arts agencies. This is your Vet Art Span podcast. We're honored that you've joined us. Welcome. Hello, my friends, and welcome to another edition of Vet Art Span. It's a pleasure being with you again, and I am happy to be here today with Miss Jennifer Samuel Chance, one of the best and most impactful orators that I know in this world. She has been an ally, a friend, a supporter of the work done both here in Florida and internationally. And so it's a pleasure to have you here, Jennifer. Welcome to Vet Art Span.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
She always laughs when I say that, but it's really, really true. I mean, when I think of voices, impactful voices, I always think of yours. And it's really an honor that you have been a part of this Vet Art Span experience this year here as a part of the Greater Creative Forces Initiative. Let's start out by talking a little bit about you and art and literature and who you are and what you do. So,
please. Oh, that's all?
Yeah.
My entire life in 30 seconds. Okay. Well, like I said again, it's a pleasure to be here. My short version of my story is that I was originally born and raised in London, England. My parents are from Trinidad and Tobago originally. So we lived in England essentially for the first 18 years of my life. And then due to the wonderful, interesting weather in the United Kingdom, doctors pretty much told my mom that she needed to move for her health reasons. Mm. So we moved to Florida, and I've been in the US ever since 1980. And to be honest, I really didn't think of myself much as an artist. A lot of people do bring notice to my voice, which I do admit is a little unusual for a female. And I always also bring to attention that I've had this voice since I was a teenager, which is good now, but not so much as good when you were a teenager, because it made me really stand out. And I was very, very conscious of it. I will also add that even in addition to having this voice, I really would not say much as a teenager because I really didn't want attention brought to me. I'm an introvert. So when you sound like this when you were a teenager, people are just like, what? What's coming out of that? What? That child? And I stayed pretty much quiet. But in the background, I would always do artistic stuff. I love music, so I would do a little bit of singing. I was part of a major dance group when I was in the UK. So I would dance and do anything around movement and music. But really wouldn't speak that much. Fast forward to 1980, came to this country. Actually decided I was going to put the artistic side to the side and do serious stuff. And this was basically from urgings of my parents. They loved me, but it was kind of time to put the childish stuff away and get serious. So I went to college, got a business degree, and started a corporate career. And had a lot of fun doing it. However, on the side, I would always be hanging around theaters, volunteering for productions, etc. But in my mind, I still didn't really think of myself as an artist. I just thought, let me just hang with these people. And that's as far as it went. Fast forward to the mid-90s, I decided, you know what? I don't really like my corporate career, and it had nothing really to do with the career. It's just I think my artistic side was bursting to get out. And I didn't realize it at the time, but that was my reason to kind of get away from corporate America and do something different. And what I started to do after I left a job I'd been in for 10 years is that I started volunteering and doing all the things I said I would do when I had time. So I made it so that I had time. And one of the things I started doing was to do a couple of things. I decided to take voice lessons. I used to sing in the bathroom, sing in the backyard, sing in the house, but really didn't put myself out there as a singer. And I thought, well, I'll just start taking some voice lessons and see what that happens there. And the voice coach that I started with notified me that I had like 3.5 octaves. I'm like, what? what? And he really stretched me. And I can go way down low bass-wise, all the way up to, at that time, second soprano. And he introduced me to the world of opera, which was very surprising because I really didn't know much about it and didn't know I could sing it. And then I started, I was like, oh, this ain't too bad. So I did a recital with Carmen, and I was like, what? And that started to open me up as a person, knowing what was possible. Then I volunteered to be part of a couple of local music bands, basically Caribbean music, started to do that. And then the same voice coach that did the music started a storytelling troupe. And he said, you've got a loud voice. People will hear you. It's kind of interesting. Why don't you join the troupe and become a professional storyteller? So I think in storytelling, I'm going to sit with kids at my feet with a book and read to them. Oh, no. Storytelling was basically taking people on a visual journey to have them go along with you and really enjoy the story. So I started to fuse music and storytelling together, and thus Miss Jen Jen was born.
Wow. What an incredible story. And I know one really, really important element when, as we've engaged in conversations with many, many other artists and also with veterans, this experience of being a little bit uncomfortable with your voice or a little uncomfortable with feeling like people might make fun of you or what you have to say. This in many instances is a concept that's repeated. Hard, because I know I've seen you live and seen what you do, and you have also been responsible for helping to put me into situations that has really helped to advance what I do professionally as an artist. So thanks for sharing that intimacy of, because you know you just never know.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of it. And so of this Vet Art Span experience, talk a bit about how your experience with it. You know, you are a part of the Diavolo project, and have been involved in a number of vet civilian dialogues and things like that. Mm-hmm. So just share a little bit of how that.
It's been absolutely amazing. I didn't know quite what to expect, and I'll be totally upfront and transparent because I'm not a vet. And I thought, okay, I'm not a vet, so I don't probably fully understand the total experience that vets are going through. However, I do know people and feelings and emotions and what it's like to feel incomplete, what it's like to feel possibly maybe broken and something's missing, and you don't know how to fill that gap. And for me, what has kept me together with all the things I've gone through in life has been the arts. When I learned to stop comparing myself to other great artists and just do me and do the best me I possibly can, that has made all the difference. So being part of this project where I think the most important thing is to show up. Just to show up and donate whatever it is you've got to give, whether it is voice, whether it is a squeak, whether you whistle well, whether you tap on the drums. If that's what it takes for you to feel complete, then do it. That's art. And I think sometimes we have a very narrow definition of art from some people. And I'm finding out with the amazing people I've met through this project, and especially the Diavolo, that's just mind-blowing in itself, that art is what you make it. Just my visual representation is like a huge swimming pool. That's what art is. Huge swimming pool. You're going to get wet. Might as well jump in, dive in, do it 100%. And what usually comes out at the end is usually pretty good.
Yeah, that's great. And I do know that one of the things that you do in your professional life is you help people to tell their story, to understand the elements of storytelling. One of the important threads in the tapestry of the Vet Art Span experience is to create an opportunity for people to be able to share their story so that they personally feel empowered, and so that other folks, especially when we're talking about the veteran community and the civilian community coming together, kind of re-emerging, you know, the true definition of coming home, welcoming home, building ways of understanding, that you teach people how they can know their story, how they can hear their story, you get them talking. And do you think that this is an important part for the veteran?
Oh, I think it's absolutely crucial. because I know, I understand that a lot of probably what they've experienced may be wrapped up in pain, and it's not something they probably do want to recall on a regular basis. However, I've learned through doing this work for now 14, 15 years, is that when you accept your truth and just learn to sit in it, and it is what it is, that provides a grounding that helps. And then when you add art on top of that, you build from that.
Yeah, and I think that what we've come to realize is that whether it's mask making or whether it's writing a song or whether it's a piece of choreography or maybe it's a photograph, this is a, for the veteran, this is another form of telling story. This is a, it's kind of what you said earlier about expanding the understanding, especially because originally when this conversation started out, it was specifically kind of geared towards taking a look at art for veterans who had traumatic brain injury or PTSD and things of those natures. But there's such a broad spectrum for the returning veteran and for their family members. And so the telling of story, like we're actually doing an event kind of as a byproduct of the Vet Art Span in January, here at the Performing Arts Center, we're doing an event that kind of redefines the telling of story. That story is not just word shared ear to ear, but it is imagery and it is movement. And you do that so eloquently. What are the elements of kind of beginning to tell your story or to understand how to tell your story?
First, I think the understanding that all stories matter and important. I would think when I tell people what I do, and I usually get one of two responses. Oh, I need you. Or, I don't have no stories. So who's going to want to hear my story? And when I hear, especially the last two, who's going to want to hear my story? It tells me there's something going on inside that ultimately ends up with the belief of, I'm not sure I'm important or I don't matter. And I'm here to always tell everybody, doesn't matter where you're from, what you do, what experiences, everybody's story matters. I always use the analogy. People say, okay, I don't have any stories. Then I'll give them an exercise. I say, okay, tomorrow morning, when you get out of bed, think of this. Did you get out of bed? Yes. Did you go to the bathroom? Yes. Did you brush your teeth? Yes. Did you leave the bathroom? Yes. That's a story. Well, what do you mean that's a story? What's important about that? I say, well, to you that experience it may not be as important because it's just your life. But to maybe somebody that is in a hospital bed that is a quadriplegic and is paralyzed from the neck down, and they may be listening to your story and living vicariously through you and imagining themselves possibly walking to the bathroom, brushing their teeth, and leaving. That's why the story is important, because the story is really not about you and your experience. It is, how does it affect other people? And we're actually not in charge of how it affects them. My goal is that when we work together, if you're a client of mine, is that you're authentic and real in your truth. And you don't have an agenda to try and inspire people by telling them how you brushed your teeth in the morning. That's very different. If you're truthful, authentic, people will see it, feel it, and get inspired by it, and that's all that you can do. So that's why it's very important to always realize right off the bat, everything you go through is a story, a possible story, which you may or may not share in public, but more importantly, it matters. Everything you do is matter, which means you matter. Mm. And when you start off with that, then I think it takes the cloak off the let me do this or let me make people feel something. No, just be authentic and truthful, realizing whatever you say, whatever you do matters. Come from that truth, people will feel it and will want more, because there's so much fake stuff in this world, so much acting and pretending and facades out there, that when you're authentic and real, people will automatically gravitate to you. And that makes storytelling much, much easier.
And then the other part of that is we've made an effort during this year to try to create opportunities for folks from the civilian community who may not have had a loved one or may not have in any way engaged with the veteran community to more clearly understand what military life is like, you know, what some of the language, we call it a military cultural competency. As a matter of fact, on our Vet Art Span webpage, we have a whole section on military cultural competency, just things that people can learn. I imagine that listening is a really, really important thing as well. In your workshops and seminars, when you talk to people, do you talk to people about the quality of listening or how to listen?
Absolutely crucial that you learn to listen, which is often a switch for a lot of people, especially if you tend to be more extroverted and you're out there just telling your story. That's great. That's part of the equation. The other part is listening and being quiet and being a sponge and observing. And you mentioned the Diavolo project. So as we've been going through rehearsals, I've been absolutely blown away by watching the vets do their thing. Part of it is the physicality of the dancing, etc. But also part of it is just watching how they are actually fantastic listeners too. They pick up on signals and nonverbal stuff and cues, which is what listening is. It's not just the ears. It is the nonverbal. It is the energy of people. And when you learn to be a sponge that way, then I think automatically when you learn to settle yourself down and realize it's not about you, then you can really plug into other people and connect to them in a whole different level. Mm-hmm. So I think listening is absolutely crucial, and it's one of those skills that a lot of us are not taught to do. Mm. We're busy, and I'll say in some cultures, I'll just admit, I know I've lived in the US for 40 years, we talk a lot here. Yes, we do. And what I find is a lot of times we're very uncomfortable with silence. Like this. Very uncomfortable. We feel we have the propensity, we need to say something and fill the space. And I think if we get very, very comfortable with just silence and listening, and sometimes you really want to speak, but no, just be quiet and let them talk. And then truly get an essence of what they have to say. Again, your communication goes to a whole other level. And with my experience with Diavolo, just watching and listening how they interact and collide as a team, even though with the project we're with, weeks before they basically didn't know each other, it's amazing. And I think those same lessons can be taught outside of this whole project.
Oh, it's really, really great. Two really important elements. The element of the freedom and the empowerment to know that your story is unique and important, and the tools and understanding of how to listen and how to deepen. You're right when you mentioned about how uncomfortable people are with silence. It's so true. It's the brain says, well, I need to say something here.
Yep. No, that's you really need to beautiful. Be quiet. Yeah.
Well, we so appreciate you having the opportunity for you to stop by and spend some time with us here on our Vet Art Span podcast, and really appreciate all that you do in support of the arts, and happy that you're a part of the Diavolo project. October 25th is the premiere of this amazing piece of work. We'll have more information on our website about Diavolo. Jacques Himes and his company of amazing movers who call themselves Architects in Motion. Jacques had the vision to know that art and movement was a place that veterans could come to feel like family and to have a unique experience. He began this in Los Angeles and now is touring and in a number of cities are doing unique pieces of art that involve both folk who have like experience or what would be considered as professional dancers coming together with veterans. Just amazing things happen. So Jennifer Samuel Chance, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you all for taking time to listen in to Vet Art Span. Go to the website, read the materials. We are so, so honored to be a part of this year-long and national initiative utilizing art as a pathway for enrichment, empowerment, health, healing, both for our veteran community as well as our civilian community, so that there again is a uniting, an understanding, and a harmony. I'm Fred Johnson. Until next time, take care.